Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You just giggle.
I giggle, yeah. The car, I was about to intro it and then the car horn went.
I know.
Yeah. Greetings, fellow Earthlings. It is I, Tim the Human. We're back again. It's episode 2 of the Ethics and Antics podcast. Thank you. So I got unbelievable feedback. Acast were really impressed as well with the response. And thank you to them for making this possible and for putting it on iTunes. You can subscribe on iTunes. Due to the response, well, I say due to the response, we would do it anyway. We enjoyed it. I say we, it's the man that helped me out last time, fellow spirit warrior, fellow vegan on this journey, on this ball through space, as we currently think it is.
Yes, Tim.
It's Jamie Lorenz.
That was a good introduction.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that was great.
We'll take that, all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Then welcome to the podcast. It begins. We were just rolling on some mats. We're in Jamie's house right now. We're rolling on some mats. We're, as I call it, and Jamie never heard of it, roughhousing. He called it play fighting, or specifically jiu-jitsu. But I never...
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, sorry. Mm. Sorry, shout Brazil. I never had a fight in my life growing up. I used to play fight with my sister. I say play fight, it always got out of hand, but it wasn't sort of supported in the household that kids should be taught. And it's okay to play. Like, you look into nature and lions always roughhouse with each other and monkeys and things. And it's part of growing up. Do you think that should be encouraged, and that they should, you know, channel that into something like jiu-jitsu or karate or something?
I think also when once you're stopped doing it, you just want to do it more.
Yeah. Well, you're told not to do it.
The second I was, you know, stopped from doing anything like that, I always wanted to do it more. But I was lucky. I had a brother. I had three sisters and a brother. But we used to play fight all the time. And it does get out of hand. I think as a child, you have to learn balance. It's really difficult to know. It's like teasing and bullying, you know. It's like how what's that mark where it goes from teasing into bullying. So it's difficult, and you kind of need parents to sometimes maybe rein it in.
Referee it. Yeah. So what's new, what's current, what's in our minds right now this week? We're trying to find a subject.
I like, you know, it was funny because last week we had, we had obviously a few things, the story, the Pyramid of Giza story, but generally it was really free-flowing. Yeah. You know, we just kind of moved with it. Yeah. And I like that setup. I think this is, you know, it's, I don't know how many other podcasts, I listened to a few of them, but I don't know how many of them are kind of totally free-flowing. So I think just, you know, what's current is, you know, what's currently floating around in our minds. And I know there are a few things because we've had a few discussions recently. But yeah, just, you know, free flow with it. I think that's the nature of this podcast.
Well, I called you up.
Tim called me up, and it was interesting because being an observer and observing myself, I caught myself doing something which was interesting. Is that Tim had been, I'm not going to say the word obsessing, but researching heavily. So I'm not going to say the word obsessing. I'm going to say researching, heavily researching into a theory that came upon him, which was this flat world theory, or flat earth theory, that the earth is flat.
Which is a theory.
It's a theory, yeah. And I've got to say this before we get into this, that a theory like that has to be, and it has to have grounds of strength to be a theory, because even the person that comes up with a theory, to some degree, knows how silly the theory must sound. So, so when you look into it, initially my response was to be kind of blasé. Now, I had seen something about it before, but when you presented it to me, my immediate response was to shun it down, to knock it down, and in a kind of bizarre way, I almost, and again, I observed this. I'm not my thoughts, but I observed the thought that I actually got a bit aggravated by it. It was almost
how would
like
Tim be suckered into something like sounding so crazy?
Probably is that. I mean, it's at some degree, it's like
I can see why people would think that.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in with my dogma, and so because it doesn't fit in with my dogma, how are you going off on such a tangent?
Especially when we're so similar in our train of thoughts in so many ways.
Yeah.
So I first heard about it in December last year, and of course, sounded crazy. But certainly, one thing I've learned in this life: don't take anything at face value. Like, I wouldn't ridicule something just because someone said, I wouldn't laugh and say, of course, that's not true. I'd be like, okay, why do you think that? Like, how could a human on this earth that is, clearly we've all been taught from the day we were at school that the earth is round and we laughed at our ancestors, how could someone possibly believe that it's flat? Okay, so what's the evidence? Oh, so it's these simple couple of observations. Oh, the horizon never sinks. There's no, even in a plane, that the earth doesn't look like a sphere. Okay, I can see why you think that from those observations. But of course, there's all these other rules and gravity and the earth spins around the sun and all these other things that make it not true, clearly. And then just out of sheer interest, something just piqued my interest in it. I asked a few more questions and I looked at, okay, it must be easy to disprove. And I looked at the debunking videos. I looked at, like Vsauce and people on YouTube, big scientists, YouTubers.
Well, I think more importantly is you actually caught an old physicist teacher.
Okay, yeah.
And because that's the big one for me.
Well, it led me to that, because I didn't find enough that disproved it. So I thought, okay, I think I'm quite a mathematical brained guy. I did A-level maths and physics. I got an A in maths. I got into university to do a maths and physics degree, which I then deferred to pursue parkour. But I actually ended up, yeah, you're right. I called my old physics teacher, sent him a few links, and then he called me back and we talked for an hour on the phone. And him being a true scientist, so, you know, science is constantly growing and learning, and science should stand up to its own questioning. And so, and he, at that point, wasn't convinced either way. He wasn't agreeing.
So he was neutral.
He was neutral, and he was saying, you know, these are interesting theories. They've got to be evaluated something further. Let's see, you know, why does the horizon always stay at eye line? And so then I ended up driving back to Derby and sitting in a pub with him in a corner with a laptop and internet for 2.5 hours, recorded the conversation, although it was a lot of stop-start because we were watching videos, so it's not the most interesting conversation to listen to. But we had a great chat and we delved further into it. And since we've had a few more emails back and forth. And from the point when I'm talking to a physics teacher, and it's not as crazy as your first glance might sound.
And I think even saying this, right, I think this is the point, and this is where my mind got the better of me, is that, and I think probably people listening right now are probably like, what
absolutely
are they talking about?
Now,
I think the first point is I don't know much about this. I haven't done any research into it. I've done very little research into it, and I don't know. But what I do know is that perspectives are the key to educating yourself. And what we seem to do is we seem to block people's perspectives if they don't tie up with what we think about life. And what I caught myself doing, which I really think was an important part of kind of my journey, was that I got offended by something that's really quite innocent. It's you just investigating and looking into
it. I was a kid, I saw something and wanted to question it. That was it.
Yeah. And you know, my ego went immediately, that is so stupid. How can you be looking and wasting your time in looking at something that we know 500 years ago wasn't the case? And so anyway, so from that to then actually sitting with you and discussing. Now, as I said before, like I haven't seen the other side, and everything can be presented in a way that is plausible to some degree.
Well, I mean, this shouldn't be. This should be easy to disprove. And yet somehow
because it wouldn't be a theory. Because the truth is, it's so out there, and it's so beyond far-fetched. Our comprehension that the theory has to be strong for it to be something that's presentable.
To it to have got this far. And so basically in the mainstream media recently, B.O.B. was tweeting.
But that doesn't mean it's true.
I'm not saying it does. I'm saying, but it doesn't mean it's true. But B.O.B. was tweeting and Neil deGrasse Tyson were going back and forth about it. And I saw the ridicule that B.O.B. were getting, that people on my timeline, Twitter timeline, were ridiculing him and laughing at him and saying, did he not go to school and all this stuff? Like, school gives you the truth. Like, that makes it definitive because they went to school and learned.
But but you also know the mind that says that.
But what fascinates me was when I just said, you know, let people believe what they want. If that's what he's looked into, that's fine. And, you know, we think otherwise. I got a backlash, and that made it more fascinating.
Well, you almost got it from me.
Well, yeah, and that's what. Do you know what? That's what pushed me in the direction because what are you so sure of yourself? So I'm going to go look into this.
Well, it gives you the drive.
It gave me the drive. And this is one thing. This is an Ali G quote. This is one thing video games taught me is that when you encounter enemies, you go in the right way.
And I love that.
what a genius Ali G was. The ridicule I got, I just started to delve into it a bit more, and so I ended up there. But the point being. Is that all I know in this life, you know, from I learned from Buddhism, is ultimate truth has to be experienced. Now, even experience, you know, can be swayed, and you can take different perspectives on things.
Of course.
But my experience on the earth if I ignore that I went to school and I was planted here and I was interested in, I wonder what this Earth is like that we're on. What are the tests that I would do just to be sure I can experience whether it's flat or round or whatever. Yeah. So I just got excited like a kid again. But what upsets me is how quickly people are to laugh and ridicule. Yeah. And be sure, like, can't I just be interested and intrigued by something, like, without taking that backlash? But I think the vegan thing certainly...
Well, that's really similar. It to some degree, it's
similar. The ridicule vegans get, and certainly it's getting less and less, people are certainly starting to accept now that you should eat less meat, if not no meat whatsoever. Like, yeah. No one is... I feel like, obviously, I may be biased being a vegan, but vegans are pretty much right about that. Like, plant-based diet is that, if you look into environmental reasons, it's the most environmental diet you can live.
Well, I think, again, it's not what you think. It's how it's being presented. Because the thing with the human ego is that if you present it in a certain way where you tell somebody it's right, someone that's not on that journey is going to immediately go, who are you to say that it's right, and immediately get defensive. And so you have to be really careful in how we present. And I always said, you know, it's things like yeah, but, and no, no, no. You know, if someone says something to you and I go, yeah, but, that's an immediate disconnection. And the nature of all of this in terms of perspectives and us all formulating ideas is to connect and to journey together. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of the structures within our society, like politics, for example, it's all about challenging and disagreeing and debating, but debating with almost like an aggressive edge, with you're wrong, you're... And I think that the minute we disconnect, I think you can see it. And I think we have to kind of stay away from going too much into kind of neuroscience. But there is a point where when you get attacked, I do feel like my short-term memory goes, bleh. I can't remember facts. I get a bit flustered and I end up losing myself a little bit to the emotions. So the nature of this is that we should connect with each other. And if we can connect with each other using language in a way that is presentable, so we're not... Yeah. So if you give me a perspective like the flat world theory, which, I mean, I would presume that the Earth sphere...
I'm not saying it's flat here because and this is one of the main things that I got ridiculed on. I was just defending people's right to think about it.
And that's the point.
And that's what I was doing. And the fact that I got so much ridicule from that, people were attacking me as though I was saying this is what it was. I was just saying that... let people think that and look into that. It pushed me to look.
But then
into
that's
it,
but. That's the same thing with the vegan thing. Is that you get a lot of vegan activists or who are aggressive in their approach. And what I realized from being a non-vegan for so many years and then becoming vegan was that I wasn't somebody that should have been attacked for what I was doing. It was the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't necessarily thought about it or given it the thought that somebody else had. Mm. And so in that, the approach is the key. And that's where, you know, that's where I think language needs to serve us a little bit better. We've got to really look at what it is that's disconnecting us, how our approach and how we approach things, because we know that there are people out there that are susceptible to getting aggressive in terms of new belief systems that don't fit in with their own. And so how do you present something in a way that people can swallow it and digest it without getting offended?
Comedy
is the best.
But we're not comedians, that makes it a bit harder.
Well, let's be funnier.
But we can try. Comedy's a great... I think it was Russell Brand, or maybe he misquoted someone else. If you want to tell someone the truth, you know, make them laugh.
Yeah.
So you make them laugh.
I believe that.
He sort of follows that. You see, if you follow his flow in conversation, he'll say a joke, then he'll hit some reality, some truth, and then it'll go back. And that's how he sort of...
Well, he fluctuates between the serious and the comedy.
Yeah, and that's what really... that's why he's so... charming in a way that people, some people find, some people certainly don't as well. But the way we are, and this is if we are on a spiritual path and we're trying to be more mindful and caring and compassionate, we've got to observe how quickly we are to mirror someone around us, and the fact that if they do come in and attack something, not to straight mirror it back. It's really inbuilt in us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's to try and see, you know, oversee it over, you know, step out of the situation, become new. It's so hard when you're in the situation. You know, afterwards, you always think of what I should have said or how I could have handled that differently. So that's what meditation is for people, you know. It's, okay, challenges are going to come at me today. It's not about finding no challenges. It's going, challenges are going to come at me. But when they do come, I'm going to just be a solution-based warrior, and I'm going to find a solution and not just try and see a problem and let that problem escalate. It's focused on the solution.
Well, ego dances with ego. So, I mean, when you get attacked, if you come at me in a good aggressive way, my ego is going to dance. It's going to suddenly go, hey, it's time to have fun. And then yours is going to feel... Yeah. And so I think...
So if you're super, if you are, like, evolved in your journey, spiritual journey, and that comes, how it, well, that's really the test,
well,
isn't it?
That's the way I try and live my life is I take full responsibility for every single action that is in my life. So, for example, if I'm walking down Oxford Street and somebody shoulder barges me, that is my responsibility. I should be more observant. So every single, because I'm observing myself, if you come at me with ego and I get aggressive, that's my lesson. My lesson is don't get aggressive at that point. Now, you have your own lessons, which are probably handle yourself better, don't get so aggressive, don't get so emotional. But I don't really worry too much about your lessons. I concern myself with my lessons. And I take every single thing as a lesson. And I try not to get too absorbed in the emotions. Now, anger is an easy one to spot because it doesn't make us feel good after. The one that is a bit more seductive is excitement, which we discussed earlier today.
Which can be a negative emotion.
Well, it's an emotion that gets hold of you. And so at some place, if the emotion grabs hold of you, the emotion has controlled you. And I think at some level, you have to be the pilot of your ship. You have to say, right, you know, you have to choose whether you're getting excited. And that comes out of choice. The ones that I find a bit concerning is when excitement gets the better of you and you suddenly see people getting a bit erratic and excited in their way. And that can be dangerous. I think it's the same, you know, you've got to put it in the same category as anger. It's an emotion.
Not quite anger, but it's certainly in the anxiety and the excitement can be close.
You're being controlled. Rather than you being, not in control, but rather than you dictating your reality.
Yeah, and being calm in the situation.
And I think we're infinitely powerful beings. You know, we have these amazing abilities, you know, much more than any of us can ever imagine. And I think that by gaining some control of our reality, by observing your thoughts so you realize that you're not your thoughts, at that point you can then feed the thoughts that you genuinely want, not the ones that habitually have governed you for so many years. You end up being very free from the reality of the mind, and you suddenly feel in that kind of meditative state all the time. And so there are definitely like setups to this thing. And
I think taking responsibility for if someone bumps into you in the street, you take responsibility for it. Like that just means that everything that comes into your life, you are,
is your lesson.
It's your lesson and that you're in control of, and you can take that positively or badly. You can learn from it and grow, or you can let anger and let that spiral out of control. Now, we all know when you get out of bed, you stub your toe, and then, you know, it escalates from there. You bang your head on the door or something.
Well, I think, again, you said it, is that every given choice in your life, every given moment in your life, you have a choice, which is positive or negative. Yeah. Do you, and a guy, a friend of mine at Burning Man 2 years ago said it to me, he goes, you've got to find the pretty in everything. And if you can find the pretty in everything, then you are freed from the negative mind, which means that you are free.
That's the game. That's the game. And again, that's what meditation and things are for, is to get yourself to that state of awareness where you are, everything, you respond to things rather than react. You don't let the animal mind react. You calmly respond.
It's funny how many, you know, I see London certainly breeds a certain mind, you know, a fast-paced mindset, which I think is really powerful when it slows down. I always said that if it's surviving at this fast pace, can you imagine it would thrive at a slower pace? But there's a point where you know, so many people are struggling. They're not living their optimal versions themselves. And I think this city certainly is built for one thing, which is, you know, economic growth. But it's amazing how many people who are struggling in one way or another don't fit meditation into their daily practice. You know,
I've seen billboards that advertise it. In East London that say meditate. Yeah, it's beautiful. Wow. I was driving by. That's so cool that they promote that. I had one incident recently where I got really angry and I reacted. Right? I didn't respond. I didn't calm. I was like, no, I have every right to be angry. This person's done something to me. I'm so angry. I'm going to lash out. I didn't take 5 minutes. I just reacted. And then the next day, another incident happened where I got angry again and I went with it. And then the next day, another incident. And this was 3 days in a row. And each anger felt exactly the same. I hadn't had it for a while. And I thought,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Am I bringing from every time this challenge comes to me, because I react in the worst way possible, it comes back to me. I'm attracting it. I'm creating this, the law of attraction. I'm spewing this red mist that attracts more of it every time I give it out. I'm drawing more of that into my life. And then the fourth day came along and it was even worse. And I ended up reversing my car into a lamppost and putting a massive dent in it. And I was going to go, and this is, I don't get angry that much, but when it goes, my ego can go on there. Yeah. And I was going to frisbee an iPad into a shop. It's a long story I won't go into. But the guy had basically for 2 years now avoided paying me. He sold my phone and just it escalated. And then I reversed into a lamppost. He'd sent me to this other shop to pick up an iPad and lied that it was an iPad 2 and it was an iPad 1. And I thought, I'm going to drive back to that first shop. And he's avoided this for years. I'm going to frisbee it into a computer screen or something. That was the image in my head.
Of course, it was a thought.
Yeah. I probably honestly wasn't going to do it. And then I reversed into a lamppost, angrily trying to skid away from that shop. And I thought, Tim, this is every day the same feeling in your stomach of anger has come to you and you've reacted to it and then it's come back. And I thought, you're going to go to rock climbing after anyway. Just go to rock climbing now. Be on a wall, looking, hanging by your fingertips so it's straining in your body, and this thought will not be in your head.
Yeah, exactly.
You will be in the moment trying to get to the next hold on the wall, to the top, and I went to the wall and I climbed and I got out and I was free. And then the next day, anger didn't come back to me. Yeah. And I thought, when you're really observant in your own life, and now we can go, people use ayahuasca and other things to get these lessons that life is giving them at a slow pace. And it may speed it. I've not done it. We can talk about that. You've got experience. But life gives it you at a slow pace. If you're observant, the lessons are there and you can grow from them.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that someone, where you focus your attention is where the energy flows. And
exactly.
So,
and I was focused on that.
The thing is that the power, the amount of energy that you're focusing on that is incredibly powerful. And if you can suddenly stop thinking about the aggression and suddenly remember a first love, or how much you love your family or a friend or whatever it is, or a beautiful moment, and you convert all that energy into that and breathe it in, you may find that all of a sudden you get shooting into a whole new direction. But it's amazing. We don't have these tools. We don't know. We never really discussed this. You know, we didn't. I always look back at education. Like, schooling was all about learning outwards.
So many things it could teach.
Yeah. You know, about mind management and ego. But I know that in some of the meditations that I've done, when I've got myself, and even in meditation, I struggle sometimes. Like, for the first 35 minutes, my brain goes round and round in circles like a teddy bear, and I get to the point where I'm like, I want to stop this. And all of a sudden, after about 35 minutes, it suddenly, or 40 minutes, it suddenly goes really beautiful. And then, for the next 15 minutes, I'm excited. I want to share this information with the world. So then I'm still not calm. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. And then about 15 minutes later, when I suddenly rein the excitement in, I'm really in that peaceful place. The point is that we haven't learned how to manage our minds. We haven't learned these tools. And there are these ways that we can convert. We can take what is fundamentally negative energy. We call it negative energy. It's just energy. And we can convert it to what we call positive energy. And it's just what we think about. So it's all about where we focus our attention.
And learning forgiveness. But here's the thought. I still haven't, and I check every now and then, have I forgiven that guy that screwed me around for years? And there's still a tender spot within me, and I hope in time him, and there's also my old landlord who charged me a ridiculous amount of money. There's two incidents that I check in my head, like these people that have angered, and you should check yourself. Anyone that's angered you in the past, have you forgiven them yet? Or is it?
Does that come, and it probably will come, it comes from when you're alone and when you're disconnected and you're sitting at your home by yourself. Yeah. And I got to say, I don't think that is the natural state that human beings should be living in anyway. I think that we are, and it is right now, so it's the current state of affairs. There's no point in trying to look at it from a kind of hindsight perspective.
Well, however, for us in London, there are other people maybe listening in Thailand or somewhere.
Of course, it's a different story. But it's about human connection. If we are left to ourselves, especially in this kind of disconnected city that we formulated for ourselves, where everyone, you know, I remember it being, I think it was 31 or whatever it was, 32, and I still had a flatmate. I was living with a friend of mine. You know, and I had businesses that were doing well and successful, and people would go, why are you living with someone? Why have you got a flat? The point is that why not? you know, this city kind of edges you into being as disconnected as humanly possible from other humans. So you're living by yourself in this kind of like shoebox apartment. And no wonder our brain, we're not connected with nature. You know, you mentioned earthing last time with the ocean. You know, we're not connected to the ground. We've tarmacked up the entire floor. So there's a lot of areas within the city that we're disconnected. And then our brains start formulating strange thought, which usually go towards negativity because we're not.
We're malnourished, right? We think nourishment is just comes from food, proteins, things like that. But nourishment is what you're taking in your eyes, what your ears are picking up, what you're smelling under your nose. From all the senses, we get nourishment. Now, when we're in a city, our eyes are only seeing square boxes like we're in a prison. Our ears are just hearing car horns, and we're only smelling, taking in petrol, and we're not smelling pretty flowers and hearing birds chirp and seeing trees, which seem random to us, but there's some calmingness in that and rolling hills. We're malnourished. Our only nourishment we get is from food, and what food we get is all processed. So as luckily we have found, we eat a more whole food, plant-based diet. So we get nourishment from the earth in that sense. So internally, we're getting earthly nourishment, but then still externally, we're removed from it. And I think it takes a toll on us. Whenever we do go out to nature and get more sun, you come back feeling fresh and you're happy and you're buzzing and you love London again and you've got fresh eyes. But after a few weeks, It's definitely.
I always say, if you can survive and you can implement the tools in London or in any city, let's say, I mean, even New York to some degree, because it's faster and probably more extreme than London, then you really are in a good state of mind and you're in a good place.
But I don't think you can I don't think you could live at the highest peak of this like spiritual awareness. Maybe you could, and live in a city and never leave that city for a year. I feel like you would crave. There's some yearning within you. You will feel disconnected. You will feel certain level of loneliness because you'll be aware of things that no one around you is taking in, and they'll be chasing around a rat race. And you certainly see you see the perspective of it and feel like, well, do we really need to do this? We could, you know, it wasn't always this way.
It's kind of like prison, isn't it? It's like you go, I could certainly find a happiness. If I had to sit in a cell, I wouldn't sit there feeling sorry for myself. I would try and find strength, and I'd try and, but it's not the optimal existence. And given that we have the freedom to choose where we want to live, the question is, why are we not living in an optimal environment?
Well, I think you need to experience the contrast to be aware that there's a problem in the first place. Not that it's a problem to live in a city.
Well, you need to understand the poison and be the remedy.
Once you do travel and you see the world and then you go back to it and you experience contrast, you become aware of it. And it's like if you try eating vegetarian or vegan for a bit and then you go back to eating meat, you will then become aware of how it affects your body. Whereas if you just stayed that way, you won't actually know the difference. So it's okay to go back just to have that checkup once in a while.
Do you know what's interesting about that?
I do feel different this way.
Is how many people, I wouldn't say attack, but how many people have strong views on veganism and they haven't even tried doing it?
They've not felt the experience.
Yeah. And that, you know, going back, it kind of ties in more with what we were talking about before, but experience being key. Only from experience of traveling you go, oh, there's something wrong with these kind of city environments.
You can watch YouTube videos all day of countries, but until you're there getting the nourishment, the sounds, the smells, the visuals, a YouTube video will not give it to you. Hearing someone's talk on YouTube of their experience of veganism doesn't give you the feeling inside that the energy levels that you feel, the waking up fresh, the focus.
Well, you know, because there was that video of the guy climbing the Pyramid of Giza in the synchronicity, which is a nice thing. I've got to tell you, when I listen to the story and I'm using my own imagination and kind of picturing the feelings, it's so much stronger than
it's like the books of Harry Potter are better than the movie. of every film that's not as good as the
made.
Book. Yeah. One thing I realised, and I think I saw someone post, that I realised we're programmed, and maybe it's just me, I'll try and get this out. We think we're adults when we're 18. That's just a number.
Yeah.
We're still anything.
I'm still a kid. I can't grow up.
Yeah. And I say I'm still a kid, but I still feel like I'm an adult. And the kid people, when you meet someone and they're under 18, I still feel a judgment of someone that's 18 or below to someone that's 19 and above because they've finished school or whatever. But that's just a number. Imagine if we never had schooling for that period of our life and we were just all, I think you'd treat every age.
Or if you didn't have birthdays.
Birthday,
if you didn't have birthdays, you may just you know, flow from one year to the other without necessarily keeping check on
that
how old
you are.
That
would be cool, yeah. Mm. I think it's a nice incident. Though when it comes to birthdays and Christmas, I've become more lax on getting presents and cards for my family. Because I feel if I find something at any moment, say I'm in another country and I see something and think, oh, so-and-so would like that.
You get it for them anyway.
You get it for them and then you give it to them. Rather than think, it's not for their birthday for ages, so there's no point getting it now. And if we live life that way, I think then we'd let synchronicities dictate when we'd find presents for certain people. And you might be thinking about that person and then find something rather than be like, oh, but it's not their birthday, or, oh, it's someone's birthday now, panic, what would they want? I can't imagine what they want. Mm. I'm trying to think, oh, and then you message them and then it's not a surprise when they get it.
You know, these are all, it's all great in hindsight, isn't it, to kind of, you know, come up with these concepts. But I do think this is the driving force, is that you sit here and you discuss optimal living, as we call it, and then we start implementing small changes. I just know one thing from all of this, that, and I'm in a kind of dilemma at the moment, as you know, we've been discussing earlier, is you know, I wanted to embark on a traveling spree. I wanted to go traveling for 6 months and really go experience the world. And the second that I said I was going to do it, I resigned to the fact that I was leaving London, I was going, suddenly I get all these, you know, these kind of business opportunities to come my way. And they're all around the vegan world.
Well, that's to say, so, you've chosen this new path that you think you want, and here's the old path that you were on before. Now you choose. It wasn't going to just say, go away, Jamie, go. It's the universe saying...
But I always find that... I was in Brazil and I was with a friend of mine and we lost the people that we were with. So we were waiting on this because none of us had mobile phones because there was no reception. And so we're waiting for them. We waited about 35 minutes on this road where all the shops were, hoping they were going to walk by because we thought they were behind us. And they didn't walk by. And then about 35, 40 minutes into it, we turned around and we said... Oh, let's just go to the beach. Let's just leave them and go to the beach. We'll make our own way back and work it out. Which, by the way, making our own way back was about 2.5 hour drive. It had been a nightmare. But the second that we resigned to the fact that we had lost them and accepted it, they popped up and found them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it happens every single time.
The lesson is acceptance.
Absolutely.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I think everyone can relate to that. I've certainly had moments in my life when, as soon as I've accepted, I've had that with texting. And this is from texting girls, and you're waiting for the response, and you're like arranging something, and then the moment you go, oh, I'm over it, you get a response.
Yeah,
incidents like that.
Well, that also works in terms of energy. The second that you're not,
it's energetic.
Yeah, it's energetic. Yeah, when you're not fussed, when you're not too fussed, or you resign to the fact that you're happy and whatever, and you're comfortable, then it comes your way.
Contentment. And I see that, and I even see it in celebrities. I look at someone like Harry Styles compared to the rest of them. Mm. He is. I mean, this is a random one, but he is content.
Yeah.
Even like Bieber or someone, they're not bothered.
From the outside, we don't know the.
But observantly, you know, he is that. He gives off that.
But you give off that. I mean, so but we know that in all of our lives, we all flash. I give off that. I mean, at certain points.
But I even see that they are the pinnacle, and they're not asked. Yeah. Another way to put it, they're not asked. It's what comes to them comes to them.
They're
not chasing anything. They're not hungry.
I don't want to make the assumption that someone is that way because I know how
it's just an observation.
But we're very clever at playing games. I know within my life, if I'm in a negative mind space, you know, in the past, for example, a smile will go a long way. So I would smile and everyone would be like, oh, Jamie, you're so nice. But deep down, I'm deeply depressed and I'm unhappy. And so there's you learn how to play the character that works so people think of you in that way. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are that way. That makes
sense. They'll treat you from that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. They've been treated. Yeah. Like, that was my point. Was Harry Styles, out of all of them, is the most... considered the most attractive, the most popular, and you know, because of the what he's giving off. Again, he might not be like that on the inside, but that was my point.
Yeah, and I get that.
Going back to the nourishment point, and I want to set a challenge for you. On the last episode, I asked, is it unethical to climb the pyramid and the crane? And of course, everyone agreed, but I'm assuming
was it unethical or was it
no, ethical? It was ethical.
It's ethical.
And not one person. Well, that's not definitive, by the way.
Can I give you one devil's advocate?
That wasn't definitive. That was just people that listened to the podcast.
But I'm going to give you one that's against both of us, which is that we, because obviously the crane situation, we did go into the crane.
That's why I don't think it's ethical or unethical. I think you can choose whatever you want.
There are two things. One is that if something did happen, right, which is a big hypothetical, because the whole point of that was that we were in charge of our own beings.
And the energy of what we were doing was
totally
pure.
If something did happen, somebody else is going to have to clean up the mess of what we've done.
And that's what they always say.
And so at some point, there's people, the left mind, the mind goes, well, if you're doing something that's going to have a repercussion based on a negative, and that's the problem, is that we base a lot of our conclusions and a lot of our systems on negative thinking, not positive. Because
the worst case scenario. Yeah. It's like choosing foresight is going, but if that happens.
But you did mention the bit about the crane moving, and I remember slightly freezing up on that during the podcast, because I wasn't sure whether I wanted people knowing that, because that looked like we were a little bit clumsy. Now, the truth is, it was my first time, so I probably was a bit clumsy. They had left the keys in the cockpit. Do you call it cockpit?
Yeah, cockpit.
So they left the keys in the cockpit. The entire crane was on, and which was bizarre anyway. But yeah, so I kind of shimmied out. My ass hit the joystick, and the whole thing moved. But that could have been
the tiniest bit,
and also these things, you know, you got to hold it down for it to move the whole way.
Yeah, and if you're hanging to the ground, that could, you know. So, but
yeah,
but I could see, if the one point someone made to me is, well, if everyone lived like that, then that's carnage. If everyone just climbed the pyramid, if everyone climbed cranes,
yeah,
that's a bit much. And other people might not have your skills, but I can just go
unless
on
my people
own
were in the flow. You know, when you watch people walking down the streets, or you watch cars, traffic is a perfect example of everybody working together. And you know, a lot of people go, oh, I don't rely on anybody, but you do. You drive to work, and if you drive to work, you rely on other human beings to also work with you in terms of traffic. I believe strongly that the human race, if given the right tools to manage their own minds, because we also like challenges, we like to work on ourselves. The problem is that our left brain likes to call it hard work, whereas our right mind, I believe, calls it a challenge and a puzzle. And so it's the
conversion.
Depends if you're
in passion.
Well, you have to find the passion in it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's more rewarding than working out the intricate details of your mind and learning tools to save you from going into a negative
mindset?
For you,
that's rewarding, not for
everyone. For sure. You know, I think most people don't thrive in depressed state.
Not everyone needs to understand their minds to grow, though.
No, but I'm saying the tools. If we could somehow pass the tools on, and the human race could adapt some tools that allow them to observe their minds in a certain way, that might shift us to suddenly being much more in the flow and realizing that we can actually work together, and people can have... It won't be carnage if everyone was doing the same thing.
I agree. I agree. Speaking of challenges,
yeah,
the challenge I wanted to put out to you... As we end this...
To me or the
well, you know what? To you as well. I want you to do this one. And you can tweet me pictures if you want, though. I understand if you don't want to. At Human Timothy, by the way. I didn't say that at the last podcast. And on Instagram, at Human Timothy. In the next few months, if you're away or even in your own town when you want... I did a video on YouTube not that long ago when I talked about nourishment. And I was stood on top of a hill taking in the nourishment of the sights and the smells and the vision. And I was naked. So,
why did that get a laugh? Because that shouldn't have got a laugh from you. That should be normal.
It should be normal. It's true.
Yeah.
But I know. I find it funny.
I get it. Of course. Yeah.
Anyway, I just waded through a river and my shorts were wet, and I went to the top of the mountain and I was sitting on it taking it in. And I thought, hang on, these wet, damp shorts on my lap are not that comfortable. I took them off and I stood there, and it sounds like just jokey or whatever, but the liberation I felt of feeling the wind and. When you're wearing shorts or something, there's a disconnect from your feeling the breeze in your upper body and your lower body, and there's sort of a separation. When you're naked and the whole, you experience it in full. You get the full experience of the nourishment of the earth being naked on this thing.
Yeah.
My challenge to you is to do that.
Yeah.
Is to experience that. You can go, you know, skinny dipping. You know,
Primrose Hill.
Yeah.
You can get roasted.
Go Primrose Hill. Wherever you are, if you're on holiday, you can take your time at any time in the next year, whenever you want. Send me a picture. You don't have to send me a picture. but let me know, because I promise you, you will experience something. You will experience nourishment in its whole. And we were born naked. We weren't born clothed. We do this to be polite. We do it because we live in a colder climate than where we evolved from. So that's my challenge to you. And I'd like to put that out there. You don't have to do it, but I think you may grow from the experience. And I'm sure there's some of you that do that already anyway.
That is the same as what we discussed last week with the holding the hug for a little bit longer. When you go nude, especially in front of people, It's a restriction that suddenly when you do it, if you can pass that restrictive zone that makes you feel awkward and you suddenly find freedom in it, you flow with it.
Have we been naked in front of each other? Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, we would have.
Yeah, I can't think of a moment,
but I'm sure. In the sea in LA or somewhere, I don't know.
I don't think we did this, do we?
Okay, maybe not. Anyway, to end on that note, we may or may not have seen each other naked. Thank you for listening to episode 2 of FX and Lenses podcast.
That was fun.
Tweet us your feedback. That was fun. We did it again. And we'll be back with episode 3. See you guys next time. Peace.
Out.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.